Don't the brass stacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis and panel. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Yes, good.
Okay. Hi, David. How you doing? This is Errol Hurley here. I'd like to identify myself.
Yes, Mr. Hurley.
I called Mr. Ellis, but what I really want to discuss, I will deal with you on that on Friday. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the discussion this morning here, and there's a couple of things that I would like to see change within the legislation of this country. Mm. I would like to see that the Senate of this country is elected by the people and not appointed by the Prime Minister, the opposition, the Governor General, whoever. I think we should have an election of the Senate, but not the same time as the election for the lower house, as they will call it, so that when the Senate time for elections, you could have the Senate elections in the middle of the term of the government so that it would not influence on the same ballot sheet as the representative for the constituency. And I also would like that the elector, people who have been elected to the Senate, be comprised of people from the community, not only people appointed by the different political parties, but anybody in the community can come and run for a Senate seat and make a valuable contribution. Because in the Senate, they say, yes, you have independent senators, but we know the independent senators mostly are supporters or lean towards the government side. So we all know that. And this is one thing I would like to see the legislation change. Also, I think the constituency councils should also be elected by the people in the constituency and not appointed by the minister and the people within the constituency council department. And Mr. Humphrey would know what I mean because he was at the head. You know? So these are things that I would like to see change. Also, the boards of the schools should be elected by the parents of the children at the school. They should elect the boards for the school and don't let the board of the school be political appointees. And I think that if this is done, we will get more things done because you have independent persons now sitting on these boards that will make, and if the government don't do their work, then they can come up and pull the government up to task. Because I heard them say there just now that the representatives in the House need to represent the people. Well, I want to ask Mr. Humphrey, if that is the case, why the opposition walk out of Parliament? You're not representing the people. The people put you there to represent them, and you walk out to the House ignoring the people's cause. And then you want to talk with rubbing shoulders? That is a slap in the face of the people in your constituencies. And I don't think that that is right. Legislation should pass that you cannot walk out to the House and sit down to the House for a whole 2 or 3 weeks ignoring the work of the people that put you there. That is one of the things that I would like to see happen.
You need to respond to that, Mr. Humphrey.
Well, thank you very much, caller. The Labour Party, I think, made it very clear their reasons for walking out of Parliament. I don't know if you were following the discussions when the leader of the opposition attempted to lay the Public Accounts Committee's report and the way that it was treated. There is a view that it's better sometimes to go directly to the people with your case in terms of representing the people if you're going to be heard and be better able to drive policy sometimes outside of Parliament. You will recall that prior to the 2008 election, the Democratic Labour Party walked out of Parliament, and for the same very reasons they were arguing that they didn't feel they were being heard in Parliament. Now, I believe there has to be some representation in Parliament that allows people to come and be heard. It was unfortunate, I think, and I think one of the things we may have to look at is the role of the Speaker in the Parliament, that a Speaker does not allow a person on the opposition side to articulate their points effectively. So that, in essence, what you have is a Speaker who, for all intents and purposes, is a member of the government who is clearly biased toward the government and does not allow the opposition to be heard. I think that is one of the other things that we have to put to the people for a conversation so that we perhaps can have a Speaker of the House who is not a member
neutral
of the government.
That's exactly one of the questions.
And have a neutral Speaker. Now, to say that the Barbados Civil Party walking out of Parliament was a slap in the face of governance and so on, come on, that's an exaggeration. If you listen to what was transpiring in that Parliament, the Barbados Labour Party was not being heard. And the leader of the opposition legitimately had the right and the responsibility to lay the Public Accounts Committee's report and was not allowed to do so.
So there's another critical issue, though, separate and distinct from that, which is more relevant to the system. And this has to do with the composition of Parliament, the composition of the executive. The very fact that so many people, the Parliament is so small in Barbados, right. And by the time you've chosen your ministers of government, you have no backbench. Right. And therefore, the executive, and other people have complained about it, the executive is able to ride roughshod over the system. Whatever the cabinet decides, the cabinet gets.
Correct.
There is nobody there to say, listen, hold up, check this one. How are we addressing that? Do we see that as a problem? Or are we comfortable with it as is? Because as you know, when the shoe is on your foot, you see it one way.
Well, when they had tree blind mice, it wasn't an issue, as they call it. But at any day,
it would not. It was not an issue when the Democratic Labour Party had only two members
exactly.
in Parliament.
So I think the point is at some point, depending on what happens in elections, you will have, you know, less persons in sitting in Parliament, representing the particular political party. At the end of the day, it really depends on how strong that political party is, how strong the views are, and how sincere you are. In terms of
and because you're dealing with people, you can leave people can be left in a situation where they feel as though the system is not working well,
exactly.
And I need to get other views on it.
I think the important thing is to understand that democracy is about representation of the people and governance by the people. The prime minister is primus inter pares, and he's supposed to be first among equals and so on. But it's really about fundamentally it comes down to recognizing the needs of persons. Now, if you're going to be a representative, because, you have a situation where some representatives are there, they're voted in, and then, they turn up after 5 years because it's time for election again. That's some of the commentary that has been having in the city. The issues that Kurt alluded to in terms of the sewage system and stuff, the red herring, that is the Democratic Labour Party that has not done anything. The whole sewage system is something that the Barbados Labour Party, engineered. The persons who put the sewage system down in the Emerton Lane, my aunt lives right in front there, is the Barbados Labour Party. And under a Barbados Labour Party representative, there haven't been very much movement in terms of the lot of the persons in there. I saw the paper quite recently.
You opening up a can of worms here.
Yeah, certainly.
You go down there, that can get opened up in a way that it has the potential to move us away from the subject at hand. The sewage project is a subject all on its own.
It came up.
Which I would very
Mr.
much...
Phillips
which
brought
I,
it up.
Well, I would
and
hope...
Kurt alluded to it.
I would sincerely hope that we would leave the sewage project just there. You have had a chance to respond as you see fit, but I don't think we can pursue
that's
the sewage
fine.
Project
that's
here.
Fine.
I don't want to be unfair to anybody.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. So...
To it. Yes, if I could just respond to the caller in terms of what he's proposing or what he's noted the need in terms of to have that level of objectivity. And I think that's a conversation that we do need to have with the public at this point in time. He also spoke about the necessity for at this time having a fixed date. And I think that is something that we also need to work to look at. And this is just my personal view at this point in time because the UPP we have not as yet discussed the issue of a fixed date for election, but it is something that needs to be addressed. I think that one of the things that he's pointing to is the need for constituency councils and the membership to be more within the community persons. And that is something that we are, we're looking at or in terms of having the necessary legislation. I think the constituency councils is a good idea. It is just how it works. It is not just about implementing the legislation, but it has to function for the community. And I think the difficulty, and I'm not about casting are casting blame, and that is not the type of political conversation I think we want to engage in at this stage. I think we need to look for serious solutions to improve the systems and how they work.
How much work needs to be done in Barbados to get more Barbadians to see themselves as having a role to play in giving back, in assisting the political directorate? Ours is a country where all the roads point to the prime minister of our country.
That's correct. Yeah,
and all the roads point to the parliamentarians. And it seems as though we create an environment where our democracy can be hijacked for 5 years.
Yes.
Because people surrender.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond?
I somehow don't share that view.
The hijack part is
you. As a student of political science, and certainly seeing certainly the dichotomy of views in relation to how, you know, society and state should function.
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister himself, I believe, is a student of, you know, the Constitution, and he understands representative government. I think sometimes he gets lashes for it, because I believe he understands not only the doctrine of, you know, collective ministerial responsibility.
Dealing with general.
Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of the view, because there's one side of the coin and there's the other side. You know, one of the things that people say is that the Prime Minister allowed ministers to do whatever they want and so on. I think he is in tune with all of the ministers. He has a relationship with all of them, and he gets the views. But he also gives them the opportunity to represent.
As you've opposed, been close enough to as ever opposed, recognize those
as
things.
As opposed to the Prime Minister being, you know, previously we had situations where, as you said, all roads led to the Prime Minister.
They still do.
And situations where, you know, if you...
Within the system, that is exactly one of the issues that we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
A system where once a person is Prime Minister, it seems as though...
He's first among equals. That's
everything
that's
else,
the parliamentary
he can
system.
Do almost what he likes. And the degree to which sometimes the society expects mm-hmm. that the people around him mm-hmm. will draw him into line. I'm saying this in general terms.
Right,
you
know? Right.
That's lost on too many occasions. We've seen it in this country over the years.
Yeah.
And in other Caribbean countries, it obtains.
Yeah. But I can't,
is that a system? Yeah. Is that a part of the system is up for review?
Yeah,
for change?
Yeah, I can't subscribe to the view that, you know, that this particular action of the Prime Minister is callous or anything and is stretching out the process. We know... If we follow what the Constitution said, if we talk about the Act in terms of relation to the representation of the people, it is clear. Elections will happen, and it will happen within that window of time that is set out. It is not happening outside of that, and I don't think that's the rule of the Prime Minister.
Would you permit a
Prime
response
Minister?
From
well, yeah, the other? I heard Kurt, but it would be good to hear from somebody else.
Again, we understand what the Constitution says, but the question that has to come here is this fear to Barbados and
exactly,
Barbadians?
Exactly.
That's the question that must be answered. And if it's not fear, it's not fear. And so with all this talk about the law and all this talk about the Constitution, we're looking at where is our country going? What's the plan? What's going on in Barbados? Why is all this stuff happening on the South Coast? Why are the conditions of our rules the way they are? Why are people not finding jobs? Why are our youth the way they are? Why are the educational system the way? These are things that must be answered,
system.
And they cannot be answered without a government in place. And sitting here today and hearing this stuff about the Constitution allows this and the Prime Minister allows this, this is not fair to Barbados and it's not fair to Barbadians. That's where we have to draw the line.
And the question is, how does the system that we have protect us from that again? Not necessarily talking about today, but if you feel that way, mm-hmm. what do we do to change that? That is the issue, because it's a learning curve. Grenville Phillips.
Thank you. Right. Well, what we had proposed is we have our parliamentary representatives who represent the people, they're elected, and the Senate should be this deliberative body of persons to review what the representatives put forward. So when I, because the fellow asked about, the caller asked about the Senate, we had proposed that there be representatives of different groups in the society, like the Engineering Association, the Architectural Association, doctors and lawyers and accountants, different groups, civil society groups.
But how would that impact on Prime Minister Cyril Powell?
Right, so, well, when laws are proposed and the bills, when they come down to the Senate, you don't get what you get right now, which is people stand up and give political speeches. We hope that they would start discussing and talking to each other as opposed to just standing up there and giving a political speech. So there's no converging towards any...
That doesn't relate to prime ministerial power, though.
Right. Well...
Yeah. It doesn't.
Yes, but...
Can I just comment?
It still helps.
Can I just comment on the matter of
the
length of time and so on and the definitive period? Mm-hmm. If, for example, there's a constitutional review committee in place and determination is made that the prime minister now does not have the power to go for additional 3 months or 90 days, but we could stick to 5 years, right? The 3 month window, because that's what we're talking about. Is it significant enough that it should be changed? If you're talking about a system of governance, because that's the point.
But
really,
Mr. Williams,
that's what
I think at the end of the day, though, it's politics and you're taking a gamble. In the same way that Apostle Scandalberry says it's a difficult decision to take and it people are offended by it, there are going to be some who may not be. But the prime minister who has to make the decision is taking a gamble. And in the fullness of time, we will see where that gamble takes him.
Absolutely.
You know, because if what he is saying is indeed true, then there's a political fallout. So I put that to you in assessing the situation. We are going next to the regional roundup, and then we're going to come back for more of this discussion, the People's Parliament, trying to get more of your input as well. I've gotten got a number of ideas and suggestions coming to me via WhatsApp. The phone is there for you to use it as well. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Tuesday edition. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Today we call it the People's Parliament with representatives of the Democratic Labour Party, Solutions Barbados, the United Progressive Party, the Barbados Integrity Movement, and the Barbados Labour Party. Now, we were having a discussion off air about this whole concept of looking for a leader in Barbados, how traditionally we look towards a prime minister to lead the country and lead the way, and the degree to which the society has changed over the years, the degree to which Barbados can continue to look to be led that way. Kirk Humphrey, you have some thoughts.
Thank you. I'm just thinking that these are different times, and that what is required is a new model of leadership. The idea that one person at the top, the prime minister or any person, even in an organization, that the leader, the person appointed to be the authority figure, has all the answers and all the solutions to the problems is a spent idea. And that in this new dispensation, there is a need to speak to the people. I genuinely believe that people have a lot of the solutions to the problems that they face, and that we have to find a way to engage people to come up with these answers. Now, the point that was made off here is that Errol Barra led and Tom Adams led, and that we need somebody like that who's going to have all the ideas and the vision and chart the path for the country. Well, we do believe that the person at the top must be able to chart a path for the country, but that at the end of the day, the people who are part of that country, the citizens, also have some information, also have some role to inform the direction in which we're going to go. This is not the Barbados that Errol Barra governed. It is not the Barbados that Tom Adams governed. People now have a greater degree of education. They have greater access to information. They understand what is happening in the rest of the world. They can interpret and come to their own judgments. And to me, mobilizing people to face their own challenges.
But how and where are you seeing the quest for that input?
Well, as I began from the start, I'm saying we started in terms of the rubbing shoulders, which I believe is fundamentally important and different. I've just said to you as well that we will go to referenda on many issues so that people have a say in decision-making processes. I also believe that we have to get back to helping communities build themselves in terms of community groups. And then lastly, because the caller before made the point that I am in the peculiar position of having led the constituency councils, and the Barbados Civil Party has said, is on record as saying that they were not supportive of the councils, which in my mind is a way to get ideas from the bottom up. But the challenge that the Barbados Civil Party had with the councils was that all the members were selected by the minister. so that we want people to have a say in the decision-making process, but that you compromise the integrity of the process by giving the powers to the minister. Now, if people are supposed...
But Barbados is a country where almost everything must be decided by the minister.
And that is exactly what we have to change. And we cannot be having a conversation about a new Barbados, a new style of leadership, and then resort to the same old mechanisms. I think what drives that kind of leadership style is fear. And people fear having their authority taken away. People fear having their authority challenged. People feel threatened by it. But to me, that is the way to bring new, fresh, innovative ideas to the top so that we can then take Barbados forward.
Have you ever heard ministers tell you nobody ever vote for you yet?
I've heard that before, of
course. You know, they vote for me.
I was a senior public
and if
servant.
I've been voted for by the people and I have to take their blows, then I have to be in a position to dictate and determine
and that is the reason,
what's in their best interest.
That is the reason why Barbados today is the third most indebted country in the world. That is the reason why Barbados today has the highest debt-to-GDP ratio in the region. That is the reason why Barbados today has a transportation problem, a health problem, an education problem, violence in the schools, violence in the street, sewage and other things on the street. That is the reason why Barbados is the way it is, because ministers believe they have control and access and are the be-all, end-all to the governance process.
And are you saying successive ministers? Yeah,
These last 10 years have been the clearest, most glaring example.
Henderson Williams, I'm sure you have a counter to that.
They had two elections and not one, because he's eluding all the time or referring back to 2008, and this 10 years, not noting or remembering that the fact that the Barbados Labour Party had 14 years.
And things weren't nearly like how things are now, I'll tell you.
Under the leadership of the Barbados Labour Party. But certainly I would want to chime in relation to this whole discussion surrounding leadership.
And the
movement away from the Prime Minister being first among equals, Prime Minister into Paris. That's the model. That's the Westminster model that we practice. However, I think if we look at the style of leadership of the Prime Minister. People say that the Prime Minister don't talk, but he does talk. And I think he talks to all kind of persons. I'm sure he's spoken to you on many occasions, David.
I'm sure. That doesn't matter to me
but
either.
I think his model is going towards the model that Kurt
I am trying my best to focus not on the Prime Minister of Barbados today.
But the model.
When I'm looking at the office and how that office has been used over the years. Look, I've been around long enough to see it from the days of Barrow. Mm-hmm. I've seen scenarios where Prime Ministers have been popular. Mm-hmm. Then within two terms or so, a Prime Minister becomes less than popular. Mm-hmm. And there is that change in the way that they relate to people. And the extent to which they are responsive or less than responsive enough, because that's what has happened here. We've put so much power in the office of Prime Minister that when that person becomes detached, then the whole country starts to feel the effects of that detachment. So where do we go from here? How do we deal with that?
Yeah, let me just continue in terms of the relation to some of the issues that Kurt has now brought up, as though there are new issues. Education has in terms of where we are, there are challenges in education. You know, back 10 years or 15 years ago, there were stabbings in schools. In relation to where we are and currently rated in terms of the education in Barbados, we've always been rated very high, and we still are. In terms of our health system, we've been rated before, and we're still very high in terms of our rating in health. Tourism is doing very well, and we just recently got another award in terms of the most desirable destination, Barbados. We have seen the increase in the improvement in the arrivals in tourism and so on.
We want to delve into all of these in individual detail so that this isn't the real opportunity to get
that.
Into all of that, but to look more specifically at whether we are satisfied that the way that the system has been working is acceptable for us, and whether there is a need for any modification of that system.
The point that you made as well, David, is that we've moved away from
Maria Phillips from the UPP wants a comment, but you finished the point.
This one in terms of the individualistic nature of, you know, in terms of a community and the development and where it's taken us as people. persons are now moving towards what it is for me. And before, community right. was more important. The extended family was more important. You know, how grandmom and my neighbor and stuff and so fit into the process. It still exists within city communities because yeah. I see it alive and it happens in the rural areas as
but
well.
But how do we adjust but to take
a there has to be a situation where individuals start to focus on when things are not as good as they are, when we don't have as much money as we have.
But if you've been, you are there in the community, right? Yeah. From that perspective, therefore, you should have some sense of what may be necessary to energize people mm-hmm. in that particular
well,
way.
But that's it. The city has been energized by giving people the opportunity to make a contribution.
The city?
To participate. I've in terms of my interaction with them, right? The determination.
The young people?
The young people.
The older people.
Older people. Right?
You know, we get a chance to test them.
Yeah, absolutely. That time will come. But the determination, for example, to have a football tournament is something that the young people said that yeah. they wanted to saw as being
fair
important
enough, because
and
I've been,
to them.
Don't forget right? that many of these communities are, you see the challenges, especially among the young males, because it is most obvious out there on the street. With
and they're
some
comfortable
of the
on the field.
But then they have a lot more elderly people. You got disabled people. There are a lot of more constituencies, or if you call it that, within each mm-hmm. that sometimes that they're not that obvious. The elderly within the community is a major issue for us,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
And
and you, Mr. Ellis, you were talking about the fact that can power just reside with the Prime Minister? Mm-hmm. We can move beyond Prime Minister to the actually members of Parliament, etc. Mm-hmm. Yes, the leaders are responsible for vision, but a leader that does not actually make that vision plain to the people so that they themselves can rise up and govern themselves is not an effective leader. And one of the things that we have to look at, and in terms of the systems, there must be that it must be systematic in terms of how you are going to cause people to come in, people in the system themselves to be able to contribute. The caller before spoke about the fact boards are appointed by ministers. Why not can boards be open up for persons who can actually contribute to any community?
May I ask you, though, how much research have you all done about these types of issues in other Caribbean countries and in countries that are similar in size? Mm-hmm. I ask you that because to a large extent, it may appear as though we talk as though we're trying to reinvent the wheel ourselves while we are within a Caribbean community where we have the same problem. So much of that has taken place.
Yeah, because I think that's a very important note. When we look at the matter of structure, systems, processes, and that's why I refer to the Francis Alexis book, because he looked at the entire region. The bulk of it is really about, you know, a Westminster type model with the upper and lower chamber and representative government. But how can you move from a situation, or where you have a situation, should I say, where you have, you know, 275,000 persons, and then you have the governance determination in terms of the executive, making the execution of policy set by the legislator in, you know, so many people, right? So it's important that we understand that representative government should be representative, and you have to have mechanisms by which the persons in a community can feed
but
in.
You sound as though you're satisfied with the status quo, while other people are saying it ain't working.
No, I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I mean, what I'm saying is that representation has to be truly representative.
And how do you achieve that?
And where you get the view, you canvass the views of your constituents, and you, in real terms, work for the people. All right, that's what I'm saying, and that's my view. And it doesn't happen all the time.
The truth of the matter is that it is so open-ended, mm-hmm. and we recognize that people will be people. Mm-hmm. Some will fail us, some will not. But the degree to which the system seems to be turning up so many people who, unfortunately, in Barbados, mm-hmm. and you can tell me if you hear the same thing, people feel that people are looking like you, are looking towards political power as a means of enriching self.
Right.
That it is not a question anymore of trying to look after the interests of people, but to be able to go and drive the biggest car yeah. get the biggest house, appear as though you're trying to say, I will never be poor again.
Right.
How do you treat with that kind of sentiment out there?
Well, Mr. Ellis, I want to step in here and say that what we seem to be dealing with is the issue of leadership style versus leadership principle. And one of the things that we must understand is that the office of Prime Minister does not make you who you are. The office of Prime Minister reveals who you are. And this is what we have experienced under former leaders. And it's what we're experiencing today under our present leader and under our recent leaders, that we are seeing more of a leadership style than we are seeing a leadership principle.
And what's that leadership principle supposed to be?
What we need to have is a leader that understands his country and understands where the country is to go. And that vision must be clearly disseminated to those who are under him or under her. And this is not what we are seeing. So we're not seeing.
Doesn't that come right back to the point that was made earlier by Kirk Humphrey, who says this society has changed? Do you buy into that?
Of course, it's changed recently, and I've seen many cases where we're trying to, we're trying to bring older models to the fore here, and it's in business, it's in politics, it's crept into the church, it's crept into basically all facets of society here in Barbados. And what we have to understand is that leaders empower other leaders. And this is one of the things that we must see and we must realize.
You see, the difficulty I have with a lot of it is that you don't want people to emerge from it saying, well, it just sounds like talk.
Yeah,
because what we more want is something more concrete, solid. something that you can put your hands on and say, what exactly are we going to be able to do to make that change?
Well, here's what is important for us within our island of Barbados. Again, we are still, in many cases, reeling from the whole issue of race and, as he said earlier, pedigree. Who should become a politician? If you're out of a family where there's been a politician, if your family is rich, if your family is a businessman, if your father's a doctor, your mother's this. And we seem to have this idea that if you're a lawyer, you're entitled. I disagree with that. I believe that any individual in Barbados who can make a meaningful contribution to the betterment of Barbados should have the opportunity. Now, I've been out there, and people, I've seen the behavior in many cases of those who we would consider hardcore Barbados Labour Party supporters, Democratic Labour.
I'm going to have to wrap here because I got to go to the news. So we can come back and finish the point. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're getting into the closing stages of this program since we wrap up at 1 o'clock. And I think I need to give one or more of the callers an opportunity to participate before we finish the program. So let's go straight to the telephone line. As you know, we have Henderson Williams of the Democratic Labour Party, Grenville Phillips of Solutions Barbados, Maria Phillips of the United Progressive Party, Apostle Lenroy Scantlebury of the Barbados Integrity Movement, and Kirk Humphrey of the Barbados Labour Party. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, good afternoon to you and the panel.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I think that Mr. Ellis, you hit on many of the topics that I wanted to talk to about this morning because it was holding off a little while. And I wanted this to go out to the BLP and the DLP candidates, okay? Since the BLP is in power, okay, do you think it's fair as a citizen of this country that a prime minister can go over for the 90 days? It's unfair to me. That is my opinion.
Why is it unfair to you?
It's unfair because all prime ministers I have grown up on have called election before or within the 5 years. This prime minister, I think, is very selfish.
But the question that you have to confront is what has been explained here, that the law permits it, and he is exercising a discretion that he is allowed to exercise. Therefore, why is he considered selfish? Because other prime ministers did not exercise that discretion.
The law permits very much things, and they do not abide by the law.
I don't want to go down there. That's dangerous talk. We need to edit that, actually. I don't want just to go there. But what I want to say to you is this. So, by the prime minister not doing what you wanted him to do, what difference does that make to you?
I want to know if the BLP will get, if they get input to power, which I hope they do, if they are going to change that constitution and put that, even if you go over the 5 years, you should not go over 5 years and 90 days. You should go over at least 21 days.
Why, what's the magic of 21 as opposed to 90 for you?
Because at least, in my opinion, at least I think that you can give the person a little more time, okay? But 90 days is too much.
You think it's too long?
It's too long.
All right. Well, let's get some reaction. Let me take another call before we get a reaction to that, because by the time we get reactions from all five, that's going to take up all the time. So let me get another call. I hope that the panelists will take note of that, the 90 days being too long, and she prefers 21. Let's take another call. Hello? You're on the air? Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, how are you?
I am distressed, Mr. Ellis.
Explain.
I don't understand how you could bring in five groups in a shortened program, Mr. Ellis. I expect that if you bring in five groups, that you would extend it to a five-hour program. And I've been complaining for the longest time, asking you, Mr. Ellis, to put the list of the moderators in the Sanderson and the time so that you can plan your week to show. Now, I know here you say for the first in the program going to 1 o'clock, because I expected that at least it would be going till 2. Right? Now, yesterday was looking to get you. No, today was looking to get Mr. Wickham. So all two have been disappointed. When Mr. Wickham coming this week, Mr. Ellis?
I don't think he's coming this week.
See, now all of that should be, you should know ahead so you can plan your week to suit. Now, I kept yesterday and today free to deal with the two of y'all, now to hear that. I didn't get you yesterday, no, he ain't coming today. No, today you got in guests. Because you know that once you have in guests, they try to avoid calling because they figure that you got enough discussion going.
But I was wrong.
Hey, no, you can extend the program to 5 hours. You can't add on tomorrow.
Not today. don't forget that we have the young people and their sports and that sort of thing, and we are committed to that. But I am also committed to the idea of bringing representatives of the political parties to people of Barbados so that we can get, you know, we can engage in discussion on the matters that are important to us. So in the context of what we are doing here, or look at the political system and how relevant is it to modern Barbados, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it is a very good thing, Mr. Ellis. So that's why I'm saying that do not do it for 3 hours. You got about five stations, and if Down to Brass Tacks is the number one show should get treated like the number one show, not the one.
That's true. I agree with you. That's why you only got one more minute to continue in this event.
But that is the problem last week. I was trying to speak to you on something. You shift me on to something else.
But my complaining so badly about, you know, you're all my favorite callers. Look, because we got five people here, why don't you call me off the air and let us have it all on this? I mean, I'm not going to dismiss your disappointment. I understand that. But, you know, we can't solve the problem this way. There are days that are going to come in this whole series that we will go back to 2 o'clock and we wouldn't be cutting back by the hour.
Mr. Ellis, where we had two parties.
It's not my fault. A lot has to do with the fact that the elections didn't get called earlier. How you like that?
All of that is true. And I told you that when we had two parties, we was having 4 hours. Now we got 5 and 6 and 7. We should be getting 5, 6, or 7
All
hours.
All right. Well, let's wrap up, because you don't want to go beyond that. Let me take another call. Thank you very much. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
I've been holding on quite a while.
Yes.
I'll try to be brief. I wonder why it is that successive governments have to use or abuse the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation for their own political purposes. I am sick and tired of every night on the evening news seeing five or so government ministers as well as DLP candidates. Right? Something else.
Hmm.
Why is it that when I'm holding on to get through, there's no broadcast on the telephone?
We're trying to work on that for you. Other people have complained about it. Previously, you were able to hear in the background,
right,
even though there was a delay system in place. But we'll see what we can do. The issue of CBC, I don't know who wants to take that up, but how the state broadcaster has been used over the years for narrow partisan political gain, while under the guise of saying that you're using it for national development, is something that I have heard complaints about from the time I came into journalism in Barbados back in the 1970s. And it hasn't changed. And there was a slight improvement. Well, I would say a significant improvement in one period under the Labour Party, one of their administrations. But generally speaking, can we expect anything different from these political parties that are here? Granville Phillips from Solutions Barbados, would you use CBC any differently?
Right. Our plan is to depoliticize the entire civil service. So it'll be properly managed so that it won't be politicized.
What that means?
It means that you won't have... Right. It means that you're not giving consideration to persons based on their party affiliation. And anyone who does approve or reject or delay any application or operating in a partisan manner like that will be fired and lose their pension. There's already a provision for that in the laws of Barbados, that if you're fired, you lose a pension. Given political considerations like that will qualify for that.
Would it mean,
that,
for instance, that...
Properly manage it.
That you wouldn't see you get more time on radio and TV than anybody else?
If that does happen, then according to the ISO system, someone complains about it and the root cause of that is determined and it won't happen again.
Okay.
That's what ISO is all about. People complain and then you find what the root cause of that complaint is and you address it in all parts of the civil service.
UPP? CBC? How would you use CBC in today's world?
Unfortunately, I can't speak to the length in terms of our policies coming in with CBC, but I do know that one of the policies that we're looking at is opening up to have a greater level of transparency. So I believe that will, in terms of licenses, so that will also allow there to be, in terms of persons being able to not be so political within the in terms of the media, in terms of the CBC in that regard.
And from BIM, Apostle Scandalberry.
Let me say, Ms. Ellis, that we've seen that CBC has been used in many cases over the years, in not just within the framework of elections, but outside of elections, in a way that does not suggest a level of fairness. And I think the time has come, since we are living in a different age, I think the time and understanding where we are going as a nation, what needs to be done, the time is here for all of these entities to operate on a higher standard, on a higher level, and to make sure that there is fairness right across the board in our political and our election process.
But how does fairness clash with politics?
Well, you know, let me say this. When I first ran in 2013, the media called me and said they were being told by both parties that I was being given too much airplay and I was paying for my ads. And so that's what I'm talking about when I speak in regards to fairness. I don't think a political party should be concerned about what another is doing if they are making payments for what they're doing. And I don't think a corporation like CBC should be called and warned by a government or an opposition in regards to the support or any other area as it regards any candidate or political party doing their work.
Quick comments from Kirk Humphrey of the Barbados Labour Party.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the caller for bringing that to the fore. I also want to thank you for recognizing that an iteration of the Barbados Labour Party allowed for more commentary from other political parties. I recall when the BLP was in, we had more regional programming, more live local shows, and so on. And I think what's happened recently has taken it to an extreme. CBC has become almost completely inaccessible to other political parties. And I'm, like the caller, I'm also sick and tired of seeing DLP candidates and ministers on the television every night too. But also the first caller, who I want to thank for her support, who spoke about the 90 days being too long and whether we should have 21 days or not. We have suggested that perhaps there's a time for a conversation around a fixed date for elections. And I think it is very important that we have that conversation as part of the many conversations we will have with the Barbadian public.
And from the Democratic Labour Party, Henderson Williams.
Yeah, just to note that I've seen both sides. I've seen the Barbados Labour Party, maybe, and I've seen the Democratic Labour Party in terms of all that. I saw the Rubbing Shoulders program, and maybe a little bit too much of it. But that's all, you know, part of it. And when a particular party is in power, certainly they, to some extent, will control the media to some extent, not totally.
That's acceptable for you?
Not block out anyone, you know, but that's the way it is.
As a young man, this is an acceptable approach for you?
No, but you see, at the end of the day, it's really sometimes based on our opinions. Our opinions and our views are shaped. If you're out, you say all ill, because I might
is
say
that it's not, acceptable?
I might say it's not acceptable to be having to, you know, go through and swim through the the tremendous amount of negative stuff that the Barbados Labour Party is putting on social media, because that's one of their, you know, their channels. But this is what it is, and okay, we're in a democracy. Certainly a democracy in some form that has existed.
The difference is the taxpayers of Barbados support an entity like CBC, and that's where the concern arises at. Mm-hmm. If the taxpayers, $9.2 million.
Yeah. But what is fair? That's the point. I heard fairness, the apostle say fair means that if I'm paying.
Well, we know fairness. You know what fairness is? Fairness is having all five of you here today.